90% of my riders tell me, oh, I wish it would just keep a better contact. Oh, I wish it didn't root the reins out of my hands. Oh, I wish it didn't do this. I wish it didn't do that. Well, hope is not a plan, and there's a solution to everything.
Welcome back to Bit by Bit with Farmhouse Tack and Adam Rittenberg. I'm Michelle Drum, your host. And today we're going to talk about hinge bits. Tell me about what made you decide to come up with a hinge bit. Like, what led you to that design?
The thing with hinges versus joints, a single joint bit or a double joint bit would be it only can open and close. It can't go up. So contrary to popular belief where people say that if a single broken snaffle fits properly, it doesn't hit the roof of the mouth, it doesn't touch the palate. I disagree. I think that it is feasible for a bit to cause discomfort when it causes the nutcracker action on the roof of the mouth. So a lot of bit fitters, a lot of bit companies, of course, they don't produce hinges, so they tend to steer customers towards products they do sell, and the hinge is not one of them, and so they point them towards a joint and say, well, if it fits correctly, it shouldn't do that. A hinge is not a new bit, okay? It's not something I invented. Variations of it are something I invented as far as leather covered and other things that I did. But the hinge itself is not widely used because people don't understand it. I think the most common question is, doesn't that pinch the horse's tongue? The answer is no, because think about how a bit sits in the horse's mouth. It should not be able to collapse that far. The width of the horse's mouth itself doesn't allow it to bend in that much to cause a pinching or catch the tongue. I find that a hinge is really suitable for
a little bit to realize that part of the spice was the fact that she did not like a single jointed bit. She preferred a double jointed bit because, just as you say, when you pull on a single jointed bit, it would crack her in the roof of the mouth, and then we'd be dodging nosebleeds.
Absolutely.
You know, and I was eventing at the time, so we're going cross country with this single jointed bit. I'm trying to and you know, she's a thoroughbred, so she wants to run. She was so much happier once I put her in a double jointed bit, and so I could totally see where the hinge would absolutely make all the difference in a horse that is uncomfortable in a traditional single jointed snap.
90% of my riders tell me, oh, I wish it would just keep a better contact. Oh, I wish it didn't root the reins out of my hands. Oh, I wish it didn't do this. I wish it didn't do that. Well, hope is not a plan, and there's a solution to everything. So imagine you're uncomfortable and now you're asked to perform. You have a nail in the bottom of your shoe and you're asked to perform. Go ahead and run a marathon and tell me how you feel. It's the same with the horses. The mouth is a very delicate area of the horse's body. A lot of the times the riders say, oh, well, even with the spur, this horse isn't going forward. Well, it's not going forward because you're not allowing it, you're not giving it comfort and allowing it to put the conditions in place for the horse to succeed. With the hinge, what I love about it is typically you'll notice that the hinge bits that I produce have a thinner diameter on the mouthpiece. That's because typically horses with low palate don't have a lot of room in their mouth. So I don't build a thick bit. Typically, they're around 16 millimeters, 12 millimeters sometimes. And that just gives that horse the ability to have enough space in its mouth, which gives it comfort, which allows it to perform better. You know, a lot of people say, well, you make bits twisted in a hinge. Well, yes, there are horses that still need a twist. But now we've given them the one factor that made them root the reins out of your hands and flip its head up and not go forward.
Exactly.
We've corrected that issue. So the twist is okay now.
Correct. Instead of going to a giant piece of hardware, you know, right. Now you've made the horse comfortable and you've controlled the spice a little bit.
I find that the leather hinge collection, well, the horses love it because, you know, mares tend to mouth leather. They find it relaxing. They enjoy it. So when you mix that with the hinge, it's the recipe for success for a lot of horses, especially the mares that are really sensitive. You can put a single joint leather snaffle and it won't have the same effect.
Oh, now tell me about leather. I'm curious to know, like, you know, I've seen a lot of these leather bits. I haven't personally tried one, but how do you care for that?
That's a good question. So typically leather bits, well, at least mine, are vegetable tanned. There's no toxins. And we use a very, very high grade chrome leather. So it's very specific, which is a more durable leather, but it's still soft and non-abrasive. If you look at the stitching on my bits, it's always facing to the outside of the horse's mouth. We always face it away from the horse's mouth. My stitching is an X pattern, which is flat. So you'll never see a bit from mine with a raised pinched stitching. It's always a flat X pattern, which is smooth and cohesive. You know, certain materials have a certain effect for horses as far as salivation and bit acceptance, and leather is one of them. Again, specifically for mares, it tends to work extremely well. You know, people say, well, doesn't the leather wear and get crunchy and hard over time, right? Well, it does, like any material. But the way I care for them is I put a little bit of olive oil on them, which is also an antibacterial or antimicrobial, and it also keeps the leather supple. I don't recommend dumping it in water and leaving it in a water bucket. I mean, obviously, that's not the smartest move. You can take a hot towel and just clean it off. You know, don't rub on the stitching so that you undo it. You can also take a soft sponge and just sort of go in there and clean it up and then run some olive oil over the top of it.
Now, when you first introduce your horse to a leather bit, would you condition this before you introduce?
The leather hinge bit has a stainless steel core. Then it's wrapped with nylon to soften it, which is the majority of the material. And then it's covered with the chrome leather and stitched. So that bit I could put right on a horse. It's already soft. It's already supple. It's already a nice feel for the horse. When we talk about a bit like the leather, like a leather covered pelham, one of them is very specifically, which has a thicker wire on the inside. It's basically a snaffle that's covered in leather. You know, you could condition it once if you want, but it's not really that important. They tend to take well to it either way. And the less you do to it, the longer it lasts.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, great. That's great. So imagine with the salivation, it's still kind of going to mold to the horse's mouth a little bit as they kind of carry the bit.
Well, I would say theoretically that's possible. It's not meant to do that, but if it does that, I mean, it's just to your advantage with certain models that have the nylon on the inside, because as that nylon wears and gets compressed, you'll see that the bit sort of changes a little bit of shape on the mouthpiece, how the bars of your horse's mouth are and whatnot.
Right. Okay, that's actually very interesting to see, like, you know. Now, I guess my next question would be, like, with the difference between a rubber hinge and a leather hinge, why would you choose maybe one over the other?
The rubber right now, as it is, only comes in the rubber twist hinge.
Gotcha.
But if we were just talking strictly about material, assume, yeah, I had one equal to one another, I would say that for a couple reasons, I would always lean towards leather. I just personally, I think it comes down to preference for the horse and the rider. I think rubber, it wears a little bit quicker than leather. I also find that rubber can have an odor to it in,
yes,
general, and it's just less pleasant overall, but it doesn't take away from its, you know, value and effectiveness. It's just, I prefer leather. I know it's a bit and I know it goes in the mouth, but riders, I tell them all the time, I said, would you put your Chanel in a bucket of water? You know, would you put your Hermes bracelet in a bucket of water? I don't think so.
No.
So, you know, things do have to be replaced. It doesn't take away from the quality. It's just wear and tear, and things have to be replaced.
Do you find that horses chew more with a leather bit, or?
I think that's really horse specific. I would say in general, I've not seen a horse gnaw on a leather bit. No. We look for those, you know, them licking their lips, sort of showing us those signs of relaxation. Chewing would indicate a negative response, which I haven't seen.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I try to encompass a pretty comprehensive collection when I build these bits. There definitely should be a cheek piece that you're looking for with that hinge mouthpiece. And if it's not available, you know, reaching out to Farmhouse, just letting them know, I want this cheek piece with this mouthpiece, and they'll let me know, and we'll get that made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So can you tell me a little bit about the customization process with the hinge bits and how we get here?
Sure. So typically the way I work with customization, especially from one of our retailers, would be that the customer has to give me dimensions of what they desire, and then I will match it to the closest shank that I have. Now, there's semi-custom and there's fully custom, which are two different price points. Semi-custom is just a slight surcharge, right? Versus fully custom is a completely different thing. So that's why I say, if you pick from a line of shanks that I currently have, and you say, I want this baby pelham on this mouthpiece, Farmhouse can say, Adam, I need you to make us a baby pelham, you know, leather hinge bit. So it's pretty simple. I think that I just don't want to confuse semi-custom with fully custom, because semi-custom, there's right. no size variance.
You're basically taking two things you already have and combining them into one piece.
Correct.
Instead of
so fully custom is when we get into different sizes, different shapes. That's a completely different process, and that takes much longer to do versus semi-custom. You know, I try to fulfill semi-custom bits within 8 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's not bad at all. I mean, I know.
I've got a pretty good production team, and I manage everything myself, and I get my guy to do 3D renderings of my products. Then those are sent over to a CAD artist. The CAD drawing is completed. I review the drawing. After that, the bit is sent over to the production managers. They take a look. We select the right materials for how we want to put that bit together for the customer. When someone orders a fully custom bit, you know, what also drives the price is not just the time, but the amount of product we have to produce to test. We have a very thorough inspection and testing procedure. I mean, I even run them over with the car sometimes to make sure. I go to extremes because, you know, I need to make sure that my riders and my horses are safe. So we do some crazy things with them. We hit them with hammers. I mean, all sorts of stuff you can't imagine. And,
well,
it's
a 1,200-pound animal. I mean, you know, right. all kinds of things can happen. So
I know. Sometimes I'm on the video call with my factories, and I'm like, hit it with a sledgehammer. I want to see what happens.
Well, yeah, there's architecture, engineering. I mean, there's all sorts of things involved. I mean, it's not just throwing some metal at a forge and bending it around and saying, here you go. I mean,
No, it's not, because the accuracy, the position, how the shanks sit on the horse's cheek, it's so many elements, you know, that the customers need to understand.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. I mean,
and I think at Farmhouse, you pride yourselves on having the best product, only the best. And so
the
we hold ourselves.
The selection. Absolutely.
We hold ourselves to that standard as well.
Tell us what you think about hinged bits. We want to know your thoughts. Would you try one? Are you using one? What do you think about your hinged bits?
Absolutely. I think we want to hear from you, and we can answer your questions. And definitely the feedback from your point of view is appreciated, and we want to know what you think.
Thank you for joining me today, Adam, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week.
Likewise. Speak soon.